You're listening to the Biohackers World Podcast.
Hi, everyone. So I'm very excited to have this short chat, fireside chat with Valerie. And I would like to introduce myself. I'm a cancer surgeon by profession, and a laparoscopic cancer surgeon and a gut specialist by profession. And I run a 200-bedded hospital back in India. So in India, I'm trying to bridge the gap by practicing my regular medicine 2.0 and longevity medicine or biohacking medicine 3.0. And I call myself the Aquaman biohacker.
I've seen that.
Yeah, because you'll come to know when you listen to ahead, because I feel that my purpose of life is water. And I believe in quantum biology also, the biology of belief. And it says that we are living in a life of upcoming life of quantum biology. And when I say this, I believe in there are no coincidences in life. And but there is a big coincidence right in our faces. And that is the planet Earth is made up of 70% water and our human body is made up of 70% water. So I started diving deeply into this stark coincidence right in our faces. And then simultaneously, I was excelling in my gut health profession. And then longevity came into the picture. Then when I dived deeply, I found this data that 70% of our planet is water. A newborn is born with 70% water. And when an average person turns 60, the percentage of water in his is 60%. So nature has all the answers. I say it open that my biggest teacher is nature. And you can look at a young green leaf, it is hydrated and green. Mm-hmm. And a dry old leaf is dehydrated and dead. Mm-hmm. So we are aging because we are chronically dehydrated.
Okay, hold on, let me drink then.
That's so important. And so let's first you introduce yourself and then carry on the conversation.
So I am Valerie Orsoni and I've been a biohacker since 1998. People ask me why that particular date. First, I was born with a lot of conditions like juvenile arthritis, severe steatosis by age 5, I'm 50% deaf, I had a brain tumor, I had everything you can think of, so many things. But I really at one point decided to heal myself. So until I turned 28 in 98, so I'm 55 today on paper, I was told to take anti-inflammatory drugs. And one day I'm like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I discovered something, vitamin C.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to take 1 gram a day. And at the time, doctors were like, oh, no, you're going to kill your kidneys. Yeah. Your kidneys are going to be... So now, of course, I have evolved. I do HBOT. I do infrared saunas. I do a lot of scuba diving. I have like 300 dives, you know, under my belt.
That's amazing.
And I want to share my knowledge on how to reverse the irreversible mm-hmm. with the world, you know. So that's what I like to talk with you. Scuba diving. You are a scuba diver too.
Yes. So what I believe that being apart from my medical journey, I have been always close to nature. We were saying that nature is my biggest teacher, because when I go in nature, I get all the answers, and that is true for everybody. And one day I was running, and then this blueprint struck me, which I'm now presenting all across the globe. I presented recently in Estonia. I'm going to do the same presentation in Japan. And this is that, first of all, let's take a step back, that for most people, what is health? Health is just avoidance of disease.
And that's true.
That's true. And most people are just disease-centric focused. Like they have a disease and then they try to become healthy
to
from the disease.
It. They don't try to stay healthy.
They are very disease-centric. And that's where biohacking comes to it. And we see lots of fancy people like Brian Johnson makes us feel that biohacking is something fancy just for...
And expensive.
And expensive for athletes and astronauts maybe. Mm-hmm. But I am here to tell everybody that biohacking isn't something fancy. It's for everyone.
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
So it starts with mindset perspective shift. And I say to everyone that anybody who's thinking of their health, who's just trying to think of eating consciously healthy food, is also a biohacker. Mm-hmm. You have to change your perspective. You just have to start calling yourself a biohacker and then you really become one. So you have to biohack your 4 different perspectives, whether you are suffering from a disease or not, whether you're just trying to live longer. If you follow this 4 body perspective, it will give you a different perspective and you will be able to biohack yourself better. So the 4 bodies are the physical body or the earth body, mm-hmm. because once you die, your physical body literally goes back to the earth. So most people, health-wise, they restrict their health-focused journey on their physical body. But the next comes is the emotional or the water body, because water and emotions both flow inside of us and outside of us. And that's where we are going to specialize this episode on podcast and talk about blue mind and the red mind, because mm-hmm. that's where we connected deeply yesterday. Then the third body is the air body, or the air or the mental body. And the fourth is the fire or the spiritual body. What I present to is all 20 science-backed biohacks split 5 across all these bodies and how we can delve deeper into it. For example, you were telling that you are a scuba diver as well. Mm-hmm. I am also a scuba diver. And I connected with a lot of scuba diving community across the world. I even connected with a lot of bird watching community since I'm a bird watcher. This 15 days back, 13 July was my birthday. And
happy birthday.
Thank you.
One day before the national holiday in France.
And I was, there are no coincidences. I was in UK at the Global Bird Fair, which is like the biggest gathering, like 10,000 people, birders across the globe. They gather on that day, and it's been one of the biggest bird watching conferences in the world. And I gave a talk there, not on bird watching, not on bird conservation, which also I do, but on telling bird watchers that if you do bird watching right, with presence and with your blue mind, then you are going to live longer. Because bird watching is more about connecting to nature, and so is scuba diving. So scuba diving is one way where you connect to water, and we've already discussed that water is one of the most potential powerful elements. So ideally our life should revolve 70% around water, but it is not for most people. We just think about water when we drink water or when we bathe, but we don't do it consciously also. Mm-hmm. So coming back to the one mental body longevity, which is one mental body biohack, that is air body biohack, mm-hmm. which nobody in the longevity industry is yet talking about, and which free divers do it naturally. That is their breath holding test, mm-hmm. Breath capacity to hold breath for longer times. And it is all trainable. So it is called CO2 tolerance. And I say that CO2 tolerance equals to focus power. The higher you are CO2 tolerant, the more focused, more calm, under pressure, more relaxed, and more focused you are. The lower your CO2 tolerance, the more distracted, more anxious, more hyper you are. So it's a simple test. You can just hold your breath. But the important thing which I want to tell people is when you hold your breath, what really happens? After most people, 20, 30 seconds, you start feeling anxious. You start feeling distracted. You start feeling that panic sensation. It is not because of your relationship with oxygen. It is not because of the lack of oxygen. It is because of your CO2 building up. And it is the chemical relation of your body with how it reacts to CO2 and not oxygen. And if you train them, so like free divers, there's one of my friends, she's called Laya. She's the world number 2 in free diving in world championship. Mm-hmm. And she is the only second woman in the world who have free dived up to 100 meters. Okay. And just randomly guess, being medical practitioners, we all know that our resting heart rate in athletes who are fit people are lower. And the lower your resting heart rate, the fitter you are. So guess what her heart rate was when she was at 100 meters.
32.
18.
Okay, I was far.
You're close, but but I'm saying so there is something called as a mammalian dive reflex. Mm-hmm. And when you dive in cold waters or in just water, it activates that mammalian dive reflex like the whales and the dolphins have. And it does some extraordinary things for your body, like peripheral vasoconstriction. It activates the spleen and it makes your immunity go higher.
It increases nitric oxide.
It increases resilience in your body, and you can just survive for up in 20, 30 beats per minute. And that's how powerful human body is. And that's, again, living from a different perspective. As a doctor, if somebody will tell you that my friend's pulse rate was 20, they would say that she almost died. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. She came back strongly. So what are your thoughts around that?
So I do a lot of scuba diving, but deep. Like I go to 40 meters and under. I now dive with recycling mm-hmm. machines. So mm-hmm. there is no bubble, no sound, no noise. So when you dive, the dolphins,
they
come to you.
Yeah,
because
you're
not scary anymore. And it's amazing. And you have this HRV elevation that's insane.
Insane.
Like I go to 125 and above. Heartbeat goes down.
Yes.
And I don't want to come back up. And you know what I call the moment my head comes out of the water? I call it the little death. Mm-hmm. Because it's super hard to leave that area.
Yeah.
Because you're so connected to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the red or the blue?
So let's simplify things for all of you. Let's talk about the blue mind and the red mind. So like a little bit.
Blue jacket, red jacket. I mean, we did it on purpose, just so you know.
I always love the color red, blue, and she always loved the color red anyways. Yeah. So blue mind is, you can equate it to your parasympathetic nervous system. Mm-hmm. And the red mind you can equate to your sympathetic nervous system. So I always like the analogy when you, we always think from a hunter-gatherer approach. When we talk about longevity, it is best to equate ourselves when how nature made us rather than what we have made of ourselves right now. So when we used to live in forest, we used to wake up with the sunrise. We used to, after sunset, we used to probably light a fire, cook a meal, and then go to bed. So that's, we were already in sync with our biologies. And we were living most, so red mind is essential. Like the red mind is the fight, sympathetic system is the fight and the flight.
If the mammoth comes at you, you need your red mind on.
So it's a red mind is a sympathetic overdrive or the sympathetic system. So for example, if you're walking in a jungle, a tiger comes or a lion comes to next to you, you cannot sit in your blue mind meditating like a Buddha, the tiger might eat you up. But the important thing is that, so red mind is essential. It is the alert mind. It is the focused mind. It helps you do things. And the blue mind is the parasympathetic nervous system. So when a lion comes to you and the red mind, your heart rate rises. It sometimes peaks. It gives you the drive to run, to even climb a tree or whatever you want to do to save yourself or your loved ones. The other thing which happens in, and coincide other contrastly, when you do meditation or you do breath work or you do underwater meditation or any kind of relaxing activity, that's where your parasympathetic nervous system starts to get active. Your vagal nerve, which is the nerve responsible for your gut-brain connection, get activated. The cold plunges, ice bath also trigger that. So the blue mind then is the calm mind. It brings your heart rate down. And as you were mentioning about heart rate variability, I think heart rate variability is a beautiful parameter with these rings. I'm wearing Ultra Human Aura, a Whoop. And
I removed the Whoop. It didn't match my red dress.
Yeah.
It's in the room.
So all the, which we track with, so this heart rate variability is a very little difficult, challenging
but
parameter.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Depending on which tool you use, the HRV is crazily different.
Yes.
For instance, you use the HeartMath, my HRV is 120, 70, 80. This Aura, 30.
Yes. So.
And so I talk to so many people and they're like, oh, we don't measure it the same way. And I'm like, when you take my temperature, it's always the same way. So why is it so different?
It is different because, very beautiful question, is my favorite, because all these technology, specifically measuring heart rate variably, it actually needs, so what is heart rate variably? We need to understand it deeply and then how technically difficult it is to measure.
Okay.
It is the variability between your heart rates. For example, let's go back to our tiger incident. We were in the jungle, a tiger comes, we ran and we climbed a tree. Both of us. And then we continued the podcast on the tree.
Okay, we're on the tree in my dress.
So our heart rates went high, maybe up to 120 because we ran and we climbed.
No, come on, we're scared. 150.
150, okay. And then we sat in our Buddha posture on the top of the tree and we started to meditate. So our heart rate slowly, gradually starts falling down. We are both resilient people. We are amazing, resilient beings. So our heart rate, after maybe 5 minutes, it is 60 or maybe even 50. If we do some breath works on the tree, we were doing Wim Hof breathing.
Yeah.
So we brought our pulse to 50.
Okay.
So that is the very high heart rate variability. From 150 in 5 minutes, it came down to 50. So, but all these technical gadgets, so ideally you need 24-hour medical grade heart rate recording to understand to measure your heart rate variability. And ideally, anything which is below your wrist is not great at measuring, below your elbows actually,
elbow.
Is not great at measuring heart rate variability. So I have tried six devices.
You need a big Oura ring here.
No, so the best device in the world, which and the most accurate scientifically, is the chest brand.
Yes. Okay.
There is a band called Morpheus chest band. It's very economical also, I think, it's called $110, I guess. You wear it on your chest and there are once you get up in the morning, you wear it and you test your recovery score, that is your heart rate variability during the sleep. And then during your strenuous workouts, during your run or strength training, you can wear it and do it. So it's a little uncomfortable, but that's the best way technically available right now to measure.
So can you say the brand again?
It's called Morpheus.
Morpheus, okay.
And there are other brands also, but this is what Andrew Huberman uses himself. I'm a great follower of that guy.
Okay.
He's a great person. So about why you said absolutely running out. Right now, I have the app on my phones. I'm using four different things. Apple Ultra Human Ring and Aura Ring and Whoop Band. Mm-hmm. And if you open my app, all of them fold will show different readings.
Yes.
So in heart rate variability, since it's a new thing for the technical industry, it'll take more years to measure it deeply. I think it is important to look at your trends rather than numbers.
That's what I look, trends. Yeah.
So trends are the best thing. And I have also invested in one more company called Vericlip. The Aura's founders have also invested in their that company. It is like a clip which you wear on your underpants. Mm-hmm. And it is closer to your core temperature. So it measures your core temperature strongly.
The sweat.
And the sweat rate. Yeah. And so in heart rate variability, you have to understand that in life, everything is rhythmic and it flows in cycles. So like when we need to understand our core body temperature to understand that, and also to decode our sleep. Sleep is again one of the biggest issues these days, right?
Don't tell me about it. In this hotel, I wake up at 2:30 every day.
So
I'm too hot. I get too hot in the room.
Once you wake up in the morning, our analogy when you're used in the forest.
Yeah, usually 5:30 for me.
The heart rate?
No, 5:30 is wake up. Heart rate is like 50.
Okay.
48, 50.
So when you wake up in the morning, your temperature of the body starts to rise. Mm-hmm. Because and for most people, it's like, for example, let's take your example. If you get up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, then around 12 in the afternoon, you'll be at your temperature maxima of your body, because that time your body's metabolism will be peaking. You'll be probably nature would want you to perform at your optimum in terms of digestion, in terms of thinking, in terms of anything, everything. So that is why accordingly your temperature maxima and your body's metabolism will actually peak around 12 in the afternoon. And then towards evening, when the sun sets down, your temperature starts creeping down. And in your, suppose you go to bed at 10. So for most people who go to bed at 9 or 10, their temperature minima happens when around 12 or 2 in the night. And that's when your heart rate slows down. That's where your parasympathetic nervous system.
Then you get the deep sleep.
Then you get the deep sleep. So by improving your better quality of sleep, if you get to your temperature minima early in the night, then you'll have better deep quality, deep sleep.
That's why I go to bed at 8:30 or 9.
But most people, if you look at their numbers on Aura or Ultra Human, they get their heart rate temperature minima just before they get up. Like if you wake up at 6,
like
they'll
4
or 5. So that is not a good quality sleep. So for that, you can biohack by doing ice baths in the morning and saunas in the evening. That's what.
Oh, that's what I do.
Yeah. So yeah. That's the protocol.
Cold shower. I don't do ice baths.
So when you do ice baths or cold showers in the morning, it is like a shock for your body. It cools down, but when you come out of it, it heats faster.
Yes.
So you get your temperature peak earlier in the day and more higher probably. And same way, if you do saunas or warm baths, many people say that it's a warm bath before bed is good to recover. Mm. Why? Because that time when you're doing the warm or the hot bath or the saunas, it raises your temperature. But once you come out of it, it contrastedly reduces your temperature, and your temperature minima is attained earlier and faster and more lower. So you get a better quality deep sleep.
Just one question for you. We have 1 minute. So your top three biohacks.
Number one is ice bath or cold rituals.
Okay.
And it is mastery of your HRV, the heart rate variability.
Okay.
Number two is cellular hydration.
Okay.
Because, so I speak about cellular hydration since you're asking me three things. One is, I told you already, the HRV mastery or ice plunges. Number two is the cellular hydration. And number three is flow state.
Okay.
And flow states are sacred, I believe. Flow state is a state, is a neuroscientific state from a doctor perspective. I delve deeply into the neuroscience of flow. And flow states is a state where literally time stops. And time dilatation is possible in flow states. It's like a state where, so true longevity happens not by adding years to your life. It's by living so deeply, living so deeply that time also flows around you and not against you.
I like that. That's a good conclusion. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, guys, if you missed Chicago, if you missed Los Angeles, it's okay. No panic, because we have the same event in Miami early November. Really come. It's an amazing community. We learn so much. And even so, even if you think you're a biohacker who knows everything, believe me, you will learn something in Miami.